You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Just recently airborne on a Friday afternoon here. I am the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio is with us from Highmark Stadium, where the Bills are having their annual evening practice Highmark Stadium in front of their fans. So Sal is there getting ready to cover that. He'll be with us until about 5 o'clock. Joining us right now on the Wester Hotline is from, for now, as my knowledge is parts unknown, our buddy Sam Paniadovich, Sammy P from Bet Sweats. You hear him on the Bet 1520 on weekday mornings. Here, our sister station in town, and I don't know, Sam. I got a picture from you at about 10:30 this morning from a bar, and then I saw a tweet with like what looked to be a cocktail in a golf cart. So I'm guessing you're having a day.
I've had a couple Josh Allens, so be it. The tequila transfusions, but you know I'm a professional bulldog. I can still handle a little radio here. By the way, I'm very excited to talk to Sal because he's the only guy that you guys ever toss to that has one name. He's like Sting or Drake or Madonna. It's always tough. Sal's coming up today.
I love it. Sammy P, man, what's going on? Thanks a lot. I love talking to you, too. I'm here inside the radio booth at Highmark Stadium. It is the first event of the final season here in what will be, a 52, 53-year-old stadium, whatever the math is now. But holy cow, I mean, it is, it's something special this year. And they're getting it kicked off with this open practice. And then, you know, obviously Bills fans, Sam, really hope that it ends the right way this year, which is winning an AFC championship on the road to a Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk math. I mean, you brought math up. The Bills have the highest win total in the NFL at 12.5, and they're co-favored to win the Super Bowl. That's where you guys are at. That's sort of where Vegas is on it, at least. I mean, you look at a couple books, and they're 6-1, 6.50, 7-1. They have either the first or second highest power rating in the league, depending on who you ask. Some people say Baltimore. Others say Buffalo. I'm sorry. I don't trust the quarterback in Baltimore. And I also don't understand how they go from this run-it-down-your-throat team in the regular season to, all right, we're going to go 4 wide in the playoffs. I've never understood it. But the Buffalo Bills are co-favored to win the Super Bowl. And those are the expectations, guys.
Well, put it in the bank then.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm curious, from your perspective, obviously we know the Bills have the NFL MVP and Josh Allen. He's terrific. They have a really good roster, coaching staff, front office. But how much of that is also the division they play in and the competition and giving them an opportunity to be in position to be that team?
So I've told Mike and Bulldog this for a year now. They basically have a stranglehold, from my perspective, on the division, a lot like Brady and Belichick used to. Now, obviously, you can't compare the two teams because they're very different in many ways, but the division stinks, in terms of a metric Las Vegas standpoint. And you know, that's why their win total is so high, because they should feast on the Patriots, who are rebuilding, the Dolphins, who are drowning, no pun intended, and then the Jets have Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. So it certainly plays into it. Sal, I don't know if you know, I've been tying Bills' division to basically everything that isn't nailed down.
wow, so yeah, there you go.
If they don't win this division, yeah, like I made a bet yesterday, it was Bills to win the East and Vikings to win the NFC North. It's 5-1. I think that's a good bet, but I'm trying to parlay Buffalo AFC East with a lot of things. I'd be stunned if they didn't win this division.
Yeah. Sam, speaking of the stadium going into its final year, now I want to get this straight. We know each other pretty well. I know you live now in Boston. Are you native to Chicago, though?
Yes.
Right. So have you gone through any, like, was it emotional when Comiskey Park was replaced, or was it like a godsend? Like, is there any, like, is Wrigley is still there, Soldier Field is still there, you're in Boston now, Fenway, obviously, you weren't there when they changed hockey rinks and the Garden went away. Have you been through, like, saying goodbye to a place that meant something to you?
When I was five, they closed the doors on Chicago Stadium, which is where the Bulls and Blackhawks, wow, you know, played forever. I was a kid, and you know, the Bulls had Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant. Blackhawks had Chelios and Roenick. You know, that building went down in, I believe, 94. Don't quote me on that, but I was a kid. I was only two when Comiskey went down, and that new place has never been anything I've been a big fan of. But no, Chicago Stadium, I have vivid memories of being in there, and in fact, I was at the Scottie Pippen charity game when he kissed the court. It was like one of the last things they were ever going to do at the old stadium. And he knelt down and kissed center court. Michael was a Birmingham Baron at the time. But yeah, Chicago Stadium went down when I was five. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, all right. That definitely works. And that time frame is probably around right. Our new build, the new building here in Buffalo for hockey and basketball, even though we don't have an NBA team, went up in 96 or opened in 96. So like that was it. Like mid 90s was when that really started happening around leagues like that. So
I'm curious, Sam. How much, when I was a kid, they would always say in home field, you give 3 points to the home team in football. Speaking of these new stadiums, a lot of these new stadiums, they don't have home field advantage. I've been to every stadium except for three in the NFL. And the only reason I haven't been to those three was due to COVID, the year we didn't travel on the radio broadcast. And I will tell you, there is not a good home field advantage a lot of times you go to these places. It's corporate partners. It's not that loud. This is a different stadium. The way it's built, the passion of the fans. How much does truly home field matter when it comes to betting these days?
So you're right, Sal. For years, for decades, it was three. Everybody thought it was three. And that changed about 10 years ago. They started dropping it. And it depends on who you ask. A lot of Vegas guys will now tell you it's about 1.6 or 1.8. But, you know, it could change. It could skew. Say Seattle's at home in the snow, or the Patriots are at home in the wind, or we're at Arrowhead, or we're in Buffalo. Like, those places are worth a little bit more. But you're seeing a big-time drop. And you know, some people would say, well, from 3 to 1.6, that's not a big deal. That's, you're cutting the number in half. I mean, that's a huge deal. So, yeah, home field for the most part on average is about 1.6 to the line.
Yeah. I think, you know, travel being more convenient probably has some part in that too, but the stadiums, I think, are probably, I don't know, maybe it's a, what do you think? Is it a mix of those two things, or is one a bigger influencer than the other, you think?
I think travel, to your point, I mean, these guys are flying private for the most part. They're staying in fancy hotels, and they are the most trained athletes of all time. So I think people have understood that, you know, maybe in the 1970s or 80s, yeah, home field was worth three because guys were sleeping at the Ramada Inn and taking, you know, horrible flights on AWA Airlines or whatever, but or ATA, sorry, not AWA, ATA, you're on vacation. Yeah, it's a lot of that acceleration, but you know, there were betting groups, like Billy Walters' group forever, thought that the home field was overvalued. And those guys made millions and millions of dollars taking small underdogs.
Sam Panayotovic.
By the way.
Oh, go ahead, Sal. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, by the way, I have two of those three things. I travel with the team as part of the radio crew. I am on the nice chartered plane. I am in the fancy hotel, but I do not have the same access to the training for me playing in my flag football league that these guys have, Sam. I just want you to know that.
Okay, I was concerned. Thanks for confirming that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Well, Sam Panayotovic, co-host with Joe Ostrowski, our friend who will be back with us during football season for a weekly visit. Sam, kind enough to do this all year round with us here. You hear Bet Sweats 9 to noon Eastern on the Bet 1520 here in Buffalo or on the Odyssey app. Sam, while we're on the NFL, I won't ask you because I know you don't have your regular database in front of you. You're busy with these Josh Allen tequila drinks that I only just found out exist today, by the way, from you. I guess I'm not doing my homework here in Buffalo. If the Cowboys' win total is being affected by Micah Parsons demanding a trade today or asking to be traded, demand might be strong. But not good news for our division winner's bet with where the Cowboys were the longest shot to win the division. And now we've got more unrest with Dallas. What do you make of what's going on there?
Well, it's not good for sure. And, you know, if you go back to 2020 and look at defensive pressure rate, the Dallas Cowboys are number one in the NFL. And he's one of the biggest reasons for that, of course, Micah Parsons, who's been a star since he's been in the league. You know, I think we got a good number, though. I mean, we were betting, you know, 7-1, 6-1, and then it cratered to about 5-1, 550. But there's variable change at all times in professional sports. And, you know, that defense will look a whole lot different. And, you know, people will always try and put a number on Micah Parsons. Like, what's he worth? Well, I can tell you this. You know, in their primes, guys like Lawrence Taylor, Deion Sanders, Aaron Donald, those guys are all worth about 3 points of the line. That might not sound like a lot, but it's insanely a lot for one player to be worth that much. And, you know, Parsons is probably in that 2 range, maybe 2.5. So it's going to affect them if he actually does get dealt. And, you know, the problem with Dallas, anything Dallas future-wise is buckled into the fact that Philly just won the Super Bowl and Washington went to the frickin' NFC title game. So, it's a tall hill to climb. The win total is either 7.5 or 8.5. If they don't have Micah, I certainly don't like our bet, Bulldog. But right. You know, the thing about our bet was you were banking on health from Dak and Micah. And when those guys play, you know, 3 straight years they go 12-5. When they don't stay on the field, they're bad. And if he's not going to be there, that changes everything. And Dallas. And oh, by the way, Matt Eberflus. As a Bears fan, Matt Eberflus stinks on defense. So he's the coordinator on that side of the field and could be really, really messy there if he's actually gone.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of any of this. What about McLaurin with Washington? Is there that's not a meter mover, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, Terry's worth about – I mean, I hate to minimize Terry's impact. He's worth about a point, maybe a point and a half, depending on who you ask. Receivers at their height are worth about 2. You know, books respect Terry, but – Terry's not going to affect the win total or the division or conference market. I still, though, man, I look up and I see the Commanders like 10-12-1 to win the Super Bowl, and I would never make that bet. I hate to be hyperbolic on your program, but if you gave me $100, I would never pick the Commanders 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's never happening for me.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, what about the other conference? And we're talking about some of these needle movers, right? You have the Trey Hendricks situation going on in Cincinnati, right? And where they are right now. Isaiah Likely, I know he's not a needle mover necessarily, but he's a big part of what they do. Like, what about the other conference? Does it just really come down to Mahomes and Allen as long as they're healthy? Or, you know, how do you see some of the other teams, their big players, and what they're dealing with?
So if you're looking for a bet, I'm just trying to steer clear of the AFC sale because it's so good. I mean, I could make a case for 4, maybe 5 teams to win it. In the NFC, though, you're going to get rewarded if you go down the board. And I'll tell you what, I think one of the biggest hires, and you know this, Sal, covering the league, you know, having 2 coordinators that know what they're doing is a big deal. And I look to the NFC, and, I looked at Philly last year when Bulldog and Mike and I started talking, and Philly was, you know, 7-8-1 to win the conference. And I looked at Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio and thought, you know, that's a good mix. Well, this year I feel that way about San Francisco. You know, bringing Robert Sala back to...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Run the defense, to me, is a huge deal. And yes, they may have lost some guys in name value, guys like Hufanga that have had, like, you know, stature in the league. But, you know, they had a good draft. I think they got younger. They got quicker. And schematically, there are not many teams, guys, in the NFC that have a Kyle Shanahan on offense and a Robert Saleh on defense. I look at that win total, 10.5. I think that's an over. The schedule is very, very soft. And also, you can bet them now. You know, San Francisco last year to win the conference was 3-4-1. Now they're 9 or 10-1. And I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid there, but I love the price. People are selling them, and I'm kind of buying them.
Yeah, they got to be a real good choice. Not that you, I don't think you can get action on this, but I know you and Joe at one point earlier this summer talked about, you know, worst to first. That's something that happens pretty regularly in the NFL. Almost every year there's a team that does it. I'm not sure if there was one last year or not, but it happens more often than not by a lot. And the Niners were last place last year. They had an injury, just a lost season. So I'm kind of with you there. I think that they are due for a bounce back, even though they don't have Debo anymore.
Yeah, McCaffrey, you could find Christian McCaffrey, who by all accounts is very healthy. Obviously, health is more than half the battle in this league. But Christian McCaffrey, you can bet 20-1 offensive player of the year. I think that's an insanely disrespectful price.
Sam, I know from talking to you earlier in the day before the Josh Allen tequila drink started happening, you mentioned something about Joe Burrow getting some action on the MVP odds.
Yeah, he's one of the co-favorites. You know, you look at the board for title, and we're talking about the heavy hitters, right? We're talking Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. The Bengals are way down the board, but then you look at the MVP market, and it's, oh, okay, huh. It's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Jackson. Oh, there's Joe Burrow at 6-1, 7-1. I don't know that their defense is any good, guys. I mean, they're going to have to be the first to 28 a lot of games. But what he did last year, I mean, if they were a better team, if they were better defensively, he's right there for MVP. Yeah, I mean, not to take anything away from Josh. I mean, we talked about on this show betting Josh week one, week two at 9-1, and that came through. You know, Burrow, though, 6-1, I don't know, because they got to win 10 or 11 games, and I have a lot of doubts about that defense. It's very bad, and Pro Football Focus, guys, also has Cincy 31 of 32 on the offensive line. That is not good.
Yeah, you got to have some faith, maybe, if you want to back the Bengals or back Burrow for that award, that it's going to be one of these deals where the group think is just going to be wrong. Like they'll figure out Hendrickson, and that the defense somehow will be better. New coordinator, whatever it is, that they will find a way to, you know, at least cobble something where they can be middle of the pack, even. Because I think with that offense, with Chase and Higgins, and of course Burrow pulling the trigger there, I think if that defense is like ranked 20th, they probably are a 12-win team.
Yeah, they could be the number two or three offense in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised. They could also be the 29th best defense in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Before we wrap up, there are a couple things that I wanted to touch on with you. We don't talk a ton of college football on this show, but I know you guys have been digging in somewhat here as we're ramping into August now, August 1st today, and you know, week zero is right around the corner for the college football schedule. What is there to be done right now for someone who wants to get action in on college football? Like, what are you tailing right now?
Well, if anybody listened to us a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Carson Beck to win the Heisman, 37-1 at FanDuel. That number is now about 20, 22. So kudos to you if you followed along with that. Not that that means we're going to win, but that's a good sign. I think in week one, Miami's a really good bet. You know, they were catching 3. They're home against Notre Dame. It's a big game. Irish went to the title last year, title game, lost to, of course, Ohio State. But I think Ohio State kind of expose a lot of the offensive issues there at Notre Dame. And now they turn the car over to a young quarterback in CJ Carr. And I just think Miami's is just so much more equipped to handle adversity early. Miami was catching 3 at home. Now it's 2.5. I think that's a really good bet. And then my favorite win total, guys, this will make you laugh. I love Toledo this year. Toledo in the MAC, over 8.5. They added a running back from Ohio State and a running back from Virginia Tech in the portal. Usually the MAC gets pillaged. Toledo got better in the offseason. And I love over 8.5.
I love it. I have to ask you about my Syracuse Orange.
I have to ask my Syracuse Orange.
Fran Brown, I mean, you know, we love what he's doing there, but they have a tough schedule, a lot of ranked opponents. They're starting with Tennessee and Atlanta. But, man, it looks like at least they're finally back to a team that can compete, maybe go to bowl games each year. What are we looking at?
Yeah, they should. I mean, they should win 7 or 8 games. I think that's the expectation there. I will note, though, that their best receiver, I thought last year, was Pena, and now he's at Penn State. Mm-hmm. You know, Penn State added 3 receivers in the portal. Penn State is favored, guys. in a lot of guys' power ratings. Like, a lot of people are telling me in Vegas that Penn State is the best team in the country. We'll see. They also have James Franklin. We'll see. But you should win 7 or 8, and they should be right there for a bowl game, no doubt.
You know we are doing a show with a guy that hosts a show called Bet Sweats when he's bringing up Toledo. I love Toledo, he's telling us here. Sam, last thing. I texted you about this yesterday. I don't know if you found any info. You said there used to be a site for it. But I was wondering, I like to build up the odds. I'm playing the lottery practically when I'm putting in bets. I don't do it every day or anything, but you know, 4-game, 5-game parlay, and of course the juice is always on in baseball, the team that's -1.5. And I found out that 28% of games in Major League Baseball, I don't know if this is year over year or this year, but 28% of games are one-run games. So that's a ding right there. The reason I ask is because, yeah, I might just be really bad at it, but most of these parlays I put in, I don't just, it's not like, oh, if only Oakland would have covered. It's like 4 out of 5 lose. It's just like, you know, it's good, you know, the favored team, and it just does not hit. I'll bet that the books would rather we not know how rarely a team -1.5 in baseball actually covers.
So, if only Oakland covered is something we tell our priests, right, at church. Isn't that exactly what we do at church? So I did ask a couple guys about your run line question, and they said, here's what they responded with. The home run line, they said, according to the math, is one of the worst bets in the league because you lay it, you know, run and a half, but you don't get that. You're not guaranteed to get that ninth at bat, Bulldog.
Right.
And a lot of people will take that home team and lay a run and a half, and the math is not in your favor. I was told to tell you, if he's going to do the run line, do it on the road where the team is guaranteed a ninth at bat.
I like this advice a lot. I'm so glad I asked you, and you went to the well, and the well responded. This is a very good day for me. Thank you for that, Sam.
Well, imagine if I was sober, how good the tips would be.
Sam, thank you for fitting us in. We appreciate it, as always. Enjoy. Where are you? Are you golfing somewhere? I saw a golf cart, I think, right?
Yeah, we're Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Beautiful. 80 degrees, no clouds.
All right, man. Enjoy it. Cheers. Enjoy the Josh Allen's. Sal, do you know what the Josh Allen is? You've heard of this drink?
No, I have not. I've seen the Josh Jack cereal, right? We have that. But what about this drink? What is this?
So, according to Instagram, and that's a very good source because it came out of his mouth, he does the transfusion, but he does it with tequila. So it's tequila, grape juice, splash of lime, splash of ginger ale. That's a Josh Allen.
Okay.
Good to know.
Kind of reminds me of the Mickey Mantle Breakfast of Champions back in the day. Go look that thing up, and that's the next thing on the menu there.
All right. Sam, thanks a lot,
Sam,
for this.
Great to talk with you, buddy.
Yep.
A lot of fun, boys. Always is. See
ya. All right. Cheers, bud. That's Sam Panayotovich, Sammy P, on Twitter, and, of course, co-host of Bet Sweats, 9 to noon weekdays on the Bet 1520. You can also find it on the Odyssey app. We will hit up a timeout here. Sal will continue with me for the next hour. We'll talk more about the stadium, maybe about Micah Parsons and or Terry McLaurin as we go here. Lines are open if you want to get in, share any stadium stories. We'd love to hear them here. So we're just like kind of cracking the door open for that. I think this will be a subject that comes up probably pretty frequently once the season gets even closer, and maybe even during the season, depending on how the season is going. So we'd love to hear from you if you've got anything to add about the stadium and how you're feeling as we are here on the day of the first event of, or at least football event anyway, of the final year of Highmark Stadium. Sal Capaccio's there at Highmark Stadium. Mike is away today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to W.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.